This episode of The Podcats is sponsored by George Barrett, Simonon Realtors. George Barrett is a Cats fan with his finger on the pulse of Louisville real estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or investing, call George Barrett with Simonon Realtors to start your journey. Find him online at KentuckyTeamRealtors.com.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Here's how you count to eight, three, two, one. And for the eighth time, college basketball's national championship trophy is coming home to Kentucky. C-A-T-S. Champs, champs, champs.
Oh, it's a sea of blue. It's beautiful.
It's awesome.
Oh my gosh, they're crazy. They're the most dedicated fans I've ever seen.
Go Big Blue!
C-A-T-S. Hey,
hey, hey. Go Cats then.
Big Blue Nation, show your Wildcat pride and band together with the Podcats. All the UK propaganda you can handle.
Welcome into another edition of the Podcats. I'm Kenny Colston, and I got to tell you, I'm really excited for this week's show. We've got a great show going for you all this week. Not going to talk too much about football because it's the start of basketball season, and we've got a really great guest that we're going to have on for you all and that we'll get to in a minute. But I'm really excited about this week's show. First of all, I have to say thank you to George Barrett at Simonon Realty for sponsoring the podcast. He's a big UK fan, so we have to thank him. He's great. We love all Cats fans. But thank you, George Barrett, realtor with Simonon Realty, for sponsoring us, for believing in us. And I will touch briefly on football. Of course, it was the Alabama-Kentucky game this week. There's not a whole lot to say about that. Quite a few injuries that will be piling up. Jalen Whitlow apparently is hurt. Bud Dupree, a lot of injuries in the secondary. Thought the football team fought really hard for the first quarter and even a little bit into the second quarter, but Alabama's the number one team in the nation for a reason. The best news is that the football team is out of its murderer's row stretch of ranked opponents, and if they can get healthy, no game this Saturday. Next game is next Thursday at Mississippi State. And so if they can get healthy, I think this team could have a chance to get a few upset victories. But, you know, we're going to put football on hold for a little bit because it is officially basketball season this week. This Friday kicks off Big Blue Madness, which, if you've never been, is an event like any other. I mean, there have been great games in Rupp Arena. There have been great games the University of Kentucky basketball team has been a part of. But Big Blue Madness over the years has just exploded. It's such a party. It's such an experience now. And so to kick that off, we've got a very special guest. Twani Beckham will be joining us here in studio very shortly. Very excited about Twani. He has a book out, Full Court Press, which you can get on his website, Twani-Beckham.com. It's a great book. Twani will be joining us shortly. But first, I just wanted to get into Big Blue Madness. We've been talking a little bit about basketball on the podcasts, and we will continue to talk about basketball because this year is probably going to be a special year. I don't want to get too high into the expectation game because I think that occurred last year and it was really kind of detrimental. And I think it was just last year left a bad taste in some people's mouths, whether that's warranted or not. But this year is shaping up to be special. We talked on last week's episode about Cal wanting to go 40-0 before he retires and kind of drumming up the fan base. And now we have Big Blue Madness. This will be the first real opportunity for the fans to see this team, to see Julius Randle and James Young and the Harrison twins, and really get to experience that. I mean, the last couple of years of Big Blue Madness has always been interesting. Matthew Mitchell and the UK Hoops, UK women's team's basketball coach, always has something up his sleeve. The basketball members, apparently, you know, the dances have been the last couple of years. It'd be interesting to see if that continues or if there's something else. I think I remember last year for the ESPN All Access series, Cal said something along the lines of, and I mean, I'm not quoting this directly, but said something along the lines of, you know, we throw a better party than anyone else in Big Blue Madness. And that's what it is. There will be a lot of good recruits in town for this. This is a great recruiting stop for Kentucky, a great avenue for that. So a whole lot going on this week. Very excited for that. But without further ado, I really want to get to our guest. So coming up really soon is going to be our guest, Twani Beckham. But once again, before we get into that, just one more thank you to George Barrett at Simon & Realty. And also, if you don't currently subscribe to the podcasts, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or also Stitcher Radio. It just makes it easy for you to follow us along. We love everyone at Louisville.am. Those Crunch Zone guys, we're getting used to them, that U of L show. But everyone at Louisville.am is great. If you haven't gotten on Louisville.am lately and listened to some of the other shows, like Family Fun or A&E or the Rusty Satellite Show, go ahead and do that. This is a great thing we have going on here. We appreciate you support, but support other shows as well. And so if you don't subscribe to us already, iTunes or Stitcher Radio.
The Louisville real estate market is hot, and nobody knows it better than George Barrett at Simon & Realtors. From neighborhood to neighborhood, work with George to buy, sell, or invest in Louisville real estate. He's often considered a premier agent in town and is waiting and ready to solve your real estate problems. Find George Barrett, Simon & Realtors, online at KentuckyTeamRealtors.com. Go Cats!
Joining us now is Twani Beckham. He's a former University of Kentucky basketball player that I'm sure many of you all have are at least aware of. I mean, fairly recent graduate of the team. Played on the 2012-2013 National Championship team. Went to Ballard High School here in Louisville as well. So, Twani, welcome to the show. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, and I'm blessed to be here today.
Well, we really appreciate you coming. Now, I want to get to the thing that is most important to you right now, and that's your new book. So tell us a little bit about the book and where people can get it at.
My book was something that I've always had an aspiration of doing. Mm-hmm. Throughout everything that I've been through in life and all my experiences, I've always kind of took note of everything that I went through. And at the end of my career, I was able to put out a book, and my book aims for people to take notice. More importantly, kids, coming up in situations that I came up in, and just I want to be able to shed light to people that, you got to grow with a plan B, that you can't put all your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. And I was one of those kids who necessarily did that, but more than so I did. I didn't see life outside of basketball. All I wanted to do was play basketball, and injuries took a toll on my career. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in that light where Plan B's coming into effect.
Right.
And it's just a different life for me right now.
Well, it's called Full Court Press, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And where can people buy the book if they're interested?
My books are available online on my website at twani-beckham.com.
Okay. Oh, because I'm sure after we talk here, people are going to really want to get into this book because you have an interesting backstory. I think you have a story that a lot of people, especially here in Kentucky, can relate to. I mean, you were a fairly highly touted player out of mm-hmm. Ballard, went to Mississippi State for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you have friends and know other people that, are good in athletics, just like you were good at basketball.
Yes, sir.
And but they, just like you said, they never think about the plan B. And I think that's even relatable to people who spend 5 years in the pros or 3 years in the pros. They spend a couple years and then they're out of it. So what was the wake-up call for you? How did you realize you needed that plan B, that that there was life after basketball?
My sophomore year at Mississippi State, I lost my whole year due to double hip surgery. I had surgery on one hip, and I was out 4 months. And I had surgery on the second hip and was out another 4 months. And it was then when I realized, hey, my body's not in the best condition. To be a pro athlete, you got to have one of the best bodies, and you got to be able to take care of yourself. And, with going through that surgery, I knew that I was never going to be 100% again. And that's when I realized, basketball may not be my way out, but I still put, 110% effort in mm-hmm. everything that I did on the basketball court. But it was then when I realized that I needed to come up with a plan B.
What I'm sure people would be interested in what your plan B is right now. Are you still working through that? Is it set? I mean, yeah. How does that process work?
I'm still working through that. It's just like I said, this whole not playing basketball, being out of college is new to me. So right now, I'm just trying to use my education and everything that I've learned and all the experiences I've gained over my time in college to use it right now. And I've gotten a lot better speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And as mentioned before, me and you were talking before we came on air. I like speaking, especially in front of kids or around anybody or to anybody that I can influence.
Mm-hmm. Are there lessons in basketball? I mean, this is we're on the radio here, so people can't really see me. But just I'm not built like you are. I mean, I'm not a basketball player. Okay, I played football in high school, and that's what I'm built for. But are there lessons in basketball that can coincide with your mentality of a plan B here? That, you know, is there any scenario where, you know, play breaks down, you have to have a second option? Is there anything that you can use basketball, your time playing basketball, to kind of help you in this transitional period?
Yes. For me, I would say, you know, being a player that came off the bench, and, you know, didn't get a lot of playing time, and you can take that into life. You know, if you put basketball first your whole life, or put football first your whole life, and, you know, it don't work out, and then what are you going to do? And it's like, if we're in a crucial situation in a basketball game and a coach sticks me in, then what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, am I going to get out there and be nervous? Am I going to be scared? Or am I going to be ready just like I was a starter? And I take it into life is you got to prepare. But you got to prepare for whatever comes your way. You got to be ready to take it on.
What are some of the things people can expect when they buy your book, when they're getting into it? I mean, are they going to learn a lot about you as a person, a lot about your struggles with your medical history? What can they kind of expect? Don't give away the whole book. We want people to buy it. Yeah. But what could they expect when they read the book?
They're going to learn a lot about me, a lot about the situations I was put in and how I got out of them. Like, I titled my book Full Court Press, you know, mm-hmm. mainly because in life, you know, you're going to get hit with a lot of adversity. And as in the basketball, and when the press, when someone's pressing you, you know, it's like adversity hitting you. The people in basketball, they're pressing you. They're trying to take the ball away from you. In the life, adversity is hitting you, you know, trying to take your joy away, and then how you respond from it, I think, is what makes you the person you are today.
Mm-hmm.
And people can expect a real, genuine person. I wrote the book totally myself. Sat down and wrote it word from word. So it was all words from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a great book. I've got nothing but great feedback from it. And, you know, the kids that has got a hold of it has done a lot for them. And that was my main point. It was my main focus.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about the book as well. I think it's a great book. Let me ask you this. When you say you really like speaking to kids and you know, I guess for lack of a better term, kind of motivational speaking. But, you know, I've heard you say in other interviews that you were that kid who, when, you know, a speaker came to class and tried to give advice, you just kind of sat there and basketball was what was on your mind. Now that you know what that kid who's sitting in that classroom goes through, you know, you can see them because you were on that other side.
Mm-hmm.
How do you break through to them? I mean, how do you, as a former basketball player, as someone who's an author now, how do you break through those walls you yourself put up and reach them?
Yeah, I recently went and talked to 10th Street Carter's football organization, mm-hmm. which was an organization that I played for coming up in Louisville, Kentucky when I was young. And you know, I love football. It was probably my number one sport when I was young. I loved football.
Oh, really? I don't think many people know that about you.
Yeah, I love football. If it wasn't for probably my high school coach that I probably played football in high school, you know.
Right.
I love football. But, you know, I was talking to the kids, and I was looking them in their eyes, and I was telling them that, you know, I just 7 to 10 years ago, or maybe longer, however long it was, that, you know, I was in y'all's shoes. And because I could see some of them paying attention, some of them was looking away. And, you know, that kid that was looking away, I was like, I made sure that, hey, pay attention. And I was you when I was young. And I don't know what you're thinking in your mind, but, you know, you, that kid, I could see myself in you staring off in the space, you know, not really paying attention, because at the time you really don't know you can't really grasp what a person really, really speaking to you about. But if you can kind of if the person is like me, my job is if I can try to reach a person that young and get them started early on the way they think and how their mind works, then I think it's only for the better of the kid.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you said you're working through your plan B. Does basketball play a role in that at all? You hear a lot of former basketball players, especially, or athletes in general, who whose bodies don't hold up going to coaching or some sort of thing like that. Would you ever consider being a basketball coach?
Yeah, I've put a lot of thought into it. I'm not sure when I want to coach, because coaching takes a lot of time and mm-hmm. effort. So I'm not sure when I want to coach, but at some point in my career, in my life, I do want to coach.
Yeah, is that limited? I mean, you said you like to work with kids. I mean, you know, a lot of people make a difference at these, even the small little league levels, and putting kids on the right path. Or, yeah. you know, do you want to be the next Coach Cal? I mean, Coach Beckham, how high or how low do you want to go?
If I could be the next Coach Cal, it'd be a blessing. But I'm not sure right now. Like I said, mm-hmm. I'm in that point in my life where I don't really know what I want to do. Mm-hmm. But I do know that I want to make an impact somehow, some way, to kids and, I mean, to anybody that I can. So that's the point. That's where I'm at right now.
Well, the book is called Full Court Press. You can get it on your website, which is twani-beckham.com.
Yes, sir.
I want to ask you a little bit about your basketball career, because you had, you know, I know that sophomore year at Mississippi State was besieged by injuries, and then your last year at UK, you also had back surgery that kept you out most of the year as well. But you did have 2 years where, you know, injuries didn't seem to dominate your season. Is there anything, sans, you know, not getting injured, that you regret about your career? I mean, is there anything that you would do differently, or that, you know, maybe you explore in the book that people can take as a lesson? Or are you happy with the way things went? Maybe not happy is the right word, but, you know, are you content with the way things went in basketball?
Yeah, I would like to say that I'm content. I believe that I went through what I went through because God said go through it. If my life was different, you know, I may not be an Arthur today. Mm-hmm. So, like I say, I trust in God's plan, and I went through what I went through because he said go through it.
Mm-hmm. What was your years like at UK? I mean, without getting into too much detail, and you know, a lot of people have done this already with the last year's team and what that team went through. But what was the time like? I mean, you had your first year at UK, you win a national championship, and then last year, you know, pretty much the opposite.
Yeah.
So what was that time like being someone from Louisville, coming back and being able to play a little bit for – you know, your home state, maybe not your home city team, but your home state team, that, you know how passionate the fan base is. What was that like? I mean, was that a great experience? What, how did that go? I mean,
it was the best 2.5 years of my life, man. It's hard to, you know, put those experiences into words. You know, being on a national championship team and, you know, being from this state, you know, growing up always a Kentucky fan.
Mm-hmm.
I always been my dream of putting on a Kentucky jersey, and the first year that I get to do that, we win a national championship, and it was crazy. Like I said, words can't put that into. I don't know, man.
But. Yeah, no. Hey, I wasn't in that situation. I don't know that I could describe it if
it was
I was
hard
in
to
it.
Describe. But then the next year, you know, having kind of a tough year was tough, and having a down year was tough, and them being hurt, not being able to play and help my teammates out and go through those struggles with them was tough also, because I could only sit and watch and couldn't really say much because I was on the sidelines. I would have rather gone through the struggles with them than sat and watched. I mean, it was tough being on both sides of, you know, winning the championship and losing the NIT was both rewarding and humbling.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it humbled a lot of us. It humbled me. Like, it humbled me even having the opportunity to play for Kentucky. Just knowing the dream do come true.
You know, you got to experience what I think a lot of native Kentuckians experience in their driveway, but never actually on the court.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people shoot that fadeaway jumper thinking they're in Rupp Arena or, you know, playing for the national championship,
yeah.
You know, or blocking Christian Leitner's shot, whichever way they go. But, you actually got to experience that What was that actually like? Now that that's been, you know, at least 2 years since you first put on the Kentucky jersey and first stepped on Rupp Arena's court, in hindsight, always being 2020, as the saying goes, what is that like? What is it like to wear that jersey and actually play, not just like the rest of us standing in the driveway and imagining?
Once again, it's a feeling you can't describe. The first time I put that practice jersey on for Kentucky and walked onto the practice floor the year I had transferred and had to sit out, it was an amazing feeling. And, you know, the first time I put the jersey on to run out and, you know, the lights of Rupp Arena, you know, where I played several high school games, and it was just unbelievable, man, just the fan base and, you know, how good the fans are. They always behind you every game, home game, even on the road. You know, most of our games are like home games. And just to put the jersey on for people to appreciate you and support you in any way that they can is just truly a blessing. And like I said, I had the dream as a kid. I was in the driveway. I was going to the parks and in the gym, shooting jump shots, trying to be Derek Ennis and Rajon Rondo. You know, I was trying to be like those guys. And, you know, to see my dreams come true and those guys support me, you know, come back and, you know, just say how much they was proud of me. From being that little kid that I always looked up to those guys, and it was just, man, truly an honor.
Well, this upcoming week is Big Blue Madness, which is the unofficial kickoff to the basketball season. And, you know, you said that you've talked with Derek Anderson, Rajon Rondo. The Kentucky, I think once you're a Kentucky player, there seems to be a very strong family element to that, even with guys you didn't play with, correct? So what are you going to participate in Big Blue Madness at all? Are you going to be there? Are there surprises you can't give away? Are you just going as a former player?
I'm just going as a former player, just showing my support to the young guys that are there now. Cause just like the older guys showed us support, I just want to be there just for support.
And have you seen the guys practice? I mean, we've gotten a few practice reports from this new team. I know there's a lot of excitement around it. Have you got to see them practice or played against any of these guys, seen them play against each other?
No, I saw a pickup game earlier this summer, but have not saw them practice yet.
What would be your advice to them? I mean, Big Blue Madness isn't a game. It's not the same thing as, you know, playing in a game in Rupp Arena, but it's an interesting event. It's a fun atmosphere. So, you know, if somehow they get this tape and they listen to it, what would be your advice to them for putting on a good show for Big Blue Madness? Because I think more than anything else, that's what people want to see. I mean, you're going to teach them dance moves, since that appears to be the thing the last couple of years?
You know, my advice to them would be, you know, it's a fun and very exciting night, and the first time the fans get to see you. But my advice would be to, you know, first impressions are everything. So if I could go back to anything that I ever did, it would be to give 110% of everything that I did. I wouldn't have Cole do anything. So even though it's a fun and exciting night for you, for the fans to finally see you, you know, I will go out there and give it my best, give it my all. You know, you want the fans to love you from the beginning. You don't want no negative thoughts going through anyone's heads like, oh, that guy's too cool, or, you know, I think he could have played better, I played harder. So that's the advice I would give is to, you know, anything you do in life or doing basketball, just give it 110%, because you don't know when, you know, it could all end. You know, I would do anything right now to have another Big Blue Madness. You know, I would do anything to have another senior. My back wouldn't go out. So just give it everything that you can, because you never know.
Well, I know you're a busy guy and you've got things to do, but I want to ask you, as a former player, what are expectations are high on this team? I know Cal last week even said that, before his career ends, he wants to go 40-0, and of course, you've heard the fans talk about that. You know how Cal operates better than us general fans do. But what do you think this team is capable of? You know, knowing some of the guys, I know you've only watched one pickup game, but talking with the program, staying plugged in, what do you think about this year's team and what they can achieve?
They got a great bunch of young guys coming in, just like the team we had in 2012, just like we had last year, but last year just didn't work out. But, you know, from what I've saw and what I've read and what I've heard, that, you know, they got a bunch of guys that are hungry and very, very coachable. So that's the main thing, is coming in with a bunch of talent and putting it all together, but number one, being coachable. You know, Coach Kyle's going to put you in the the perfect situation or the right situation to which he thinks that his teams can succeed. And I think if that team comes in coachable, everybody's hungry and plays together, which Coach Cal has a track record of, you know, getting great talent to come together and mesh, then I think the sky's the limit for that team.
Well, Twani, I really appreciate you joining us. Once again, your book is called Full Court Press. It's on your website. Mm-hmm. You want to tell everyone what that is one more time?
Twani-Beckham.com.
And is there anything else you just want to say? I'll give you an open mic here, kind of last question that, you know, just one last parting thing about either your career, your life, your book. It's open mic. Anything you want to leave everyone with?
First of all, I just want to thank God for, you know, making my life possible. And second of all, I want to thank you for, you know, asking me to come on the show. And, you know, third of all, I just want to say, I just want to thank the people for Kentucky for accepting me and showing me a lot of love the whole time I was at Kentucky and always being behind me no matter how much playing time I got or no matter the contributions I gave to the team. I always saw a lot of fan support. So just want to say thank you to the people of Kentucky.
Well, we want to thank you as well. Thanks for coming on the podcast. Go ahead, everyone, pick up Twani's book, Full Court Press, on his website. And maybe we'll have you again on as basketball season continues. Maybe commentating can be your plan B.
I look forward to it.
All right. Big thank you to Twani Beckham for joining us. That was a great interview. Make sure you really do pick up his book, Full Court Press, at Twani-Beckham.com. Hopefully, Chris Littrell can join us again next week. You know, we missed him, having him not here this week. Big Blue Madness this Friday. Thanks again for Twani Beckham. And if you haven't downloaded us yet or subscribe to us on iTunes or on Stitcher Radio, go ahead and do that. And we're going to end this the way we do every week, and that's with a big Go Cats.